This came straight from the throne. He said in John, I've spoken not on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. This came fresh from the throne, man. This was not sitting in the refrigerator for 3 months growing mold. This thing was straight from the heart of God, and it brought life and vitality and fullness and wholeness. Praise God. And the people were shocked. He said, we never heard anybody speak like that. We never heard a man teach like that. We never heard anybody have words like that. In fact, later on in the Gospel of John, they sent some officers to arrest him. And they came back empty-handed, and the Pharisee says, where is he? Why didn't you bring him? And all the officers could do was say, we never heard a man speak like this man. He just opened his mouth and started teaching, and it rocked their world so much they didn't even say, I'm not arresting him. Let Mikey arrest him. He'll arrest anybody. And he went home empty-handed. Words charged with the anointing and the fire and the Spirit of God started coming out of his soul, out through his mouth, and it amazed the people. It astonished them. Do you know what it's like to hear a word that brings life to your soul? Have you ever had somebody speak? Maybe you were in darkness for whatever reason, and you were weighted down like heavy chains on your soul, man, and you could barely function because your mind was totally enslaved to this fear, this worry, this anxiety that just crushed you under its weight. And thank God some dear Spirit-filled brother or sister in Christ happened to notice in your spirit that something was wrong, and they came over to you and just put their hand on your shoulder and talked, and they began to speak words of life fresh from the throne of God, man. And you were like, oh, it was like a drink of water in the desert, man. You were just like, oh, and it just went down into your soul, and you could feel the life inside. Have you ever experienced that? I mean, you don't even have to be a long discourse, man. They can say one sentence, and all of a sudden, the darkness just shatters. Let me ask you this. Has anyone ever spoken death into your soul? Anybody? Yeah. It's real power. People carry wounds for a lifetime from some words that someone had either callously or maliciously, thoughtlessly spoken to their life. You can speak life into a person. You can speak death into a person. Something that somebody said that cut them in some way and caused them to doubt themselves, and they carry this thing for years and years and years. And they try to numb that pain through all kinds of destructive practices, man. And just until their life is just one massive entangled pile of dysfunction. You can speak death into a person's soul. And the terrible thing is, a lot of the times it comes from the pulpit. It's tragic. This is the place where people are supposed to be set free. And they can come in and get wounded in the very house of God. I'm sure that's exactly what was going on there, because those rabbis would go on and on and on about little minute aspects of the law, about how people were to order their behavior. So everything was performance driven, and people lived in fear of failure, fear of not living up to the standard, fear of not impressing this person or that person or being something they shouldn't be. And that's what religion does. It brings bondage, man. And so you had people sitting under a lifetime of death being spoken into their souls. The letter kills, the Spirit brings life. Praise God. Scripture says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. You and I have amazing power in the words that we speak. Religious speeches change nothing, but kingdom preaching with the anointing of God and prophetic insight that's directed and controlled by the Spirit of God changes everything. That day I got saved, man. My mother took me to that crusade. And when that man opened his mouth and the Word of God came out under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, everything changed. I was different, man. I scared my wife to death. She's like, "What has happened to you?" About a week later, she's like, "Man, you're different. You're scaring me." Praise God. He taught with the authority of the living Word of God. There's authority in that anointing. All right, number two. Speeding up a little bit here. He acted with authority. He not only taught with authority, he acted with authority. You know, I can imagine that demon sitting inside of that man that day. Sitting in that darkness, just comfortable in his filth. And in the spirit, there's a little glow on the horizon. And it's getting closer. And he begins to feel a little nervous inside. There's a little bit of anxiety building up. Something is right. There's never been a little glow on the horizon before. And it's getting closer and closer. And as he gets closer, he can see it's around this man. And the electricity of God is breaking out of that power, man. The fire of God is just bursting off of this glow. It's like a thunderstorm coming down the road, man, just charged with the power of God. As he comes closer, he sees this man. And I imagine in the spirit, he also sees the entourage of angels that went with him. Because you know angels followed Christ around. Chariots of fire. It must have been like a volcano, just a fire coming down the road. And all of a sudden, the darkness that was so thick started getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And all of a sudden, inside this man, this tension started building up, this anxiety. Because stuff was about to happen. The darkness was going to be shattered. And so it gets closer until it comes up to the synagogue. And then all of a sudden, that light of God enters the room. And the demon can see this in the spirit. He's aware of this stuff. He knows who this is now. And the room is just filled with the electricity of God. The very atmosphere changes. It's just charged with God's power. And so this demon knows, man, the gig is up. This is not cool. This is not cool. This is not good. I don't like what's happening this morning. And Jesus is invited to get up into the pulpit and speaks. And he goes up there and he begins to speak words of power and life and light and energy until finally the demon can't even take it anymore. And in the Greek, it literally says he shrieks. He screeches out, "Ah! What are we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?" There was just gross fear and anxiety pouring out of this man. There was a spiritual earthquake that morning. Glory to God. I know who you are. You're the Son of God. You're the Holy One of God. And I love what Jesus did. I love what he did. He didn't sit there and debate with the demon. He didn't interview him. "Well, how do you feel about that?" He didn't negotiate with him. He didn't arbitrate with him. He basically said in plain English, "Shut up and get out." I mean, literally, when you look in the Greek, I mean, it's not a very polite word. He wasn't saying, "I wish you would please keep it down. Please hold your peace." He was saying in a very imperative, direct command, basically, "Shut up and get out of him." I love it, man. He didn't bandy any words. He didn't dance around. He wasn't trying to be polite. He came to rock the boat. He came to shake things up, and he knew that it was horrible that a man made in the image of God could be in bondage and torment to the very enemy of God. And he said, "No, it stops today." And when that demon cried out, he looked him square in the eye and he said, "Shut up and get out." And what happened? He shut up and got out. Actually, in between the time he said, "Shut up and get out," and the time the demon shut up and got out, there was a moment where something else happened. What happened? He convulsed him. probably threw the man on the floor and shook him like a leaf, and then cried out with a loud voice as he was leaving the man. I've heard people get delivered from demons before. Way back in the when we first started coming here, we went to a men's retreat up in Massanutta, and a couple of guys got delivered from demons. And I want to tell you, man, it'll chill your skin, man. It'll put goosebumps on your skin to hear these men cry out when those demons come out of them. This is real stuff. And they were changed. Missy's testified before about in one of the ladies' retreats years ago, a pair of lesbians who were delivered from demonic powers. And the screech that came out of them when the demons came out. And yet they were changed. And a year later, they were still delivered, still walking with God, had grown, in fact, in their walk with God. Jesus came to shake things up, and he used kingdom authority. Religion changes nothing. Kingdom authority changes what?
Everything.
Everything. Praise God. Praise God. It didn't stop there. As soon as the service was over, they walked out the door. They went to Simon's mother-in-law's house, or actually Simon's house, where his mother-in-law was staying. Mark chapter 1, verse 29, it says, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, with people back there going, whoa,